Starting, Lord willing, I need to learn how to say that because hopefully I may not be here next week. Hopefully I'm up there. And I'm looking forward to that like you wouldn't believe. So come quickly, Lord Jesus, or take me home. You know. Anyway, that's beside the point here. You start thinking about that more when you lose your spouse. You know, she's up there and I'm down here, and I don't want her back here. I want to go up there. So anyway, enough of that. So I tell you what, I'm just going to give a commercial here. Next week, Lord willing, I'm planning on showing a DVD. Some of you have seen this. I taught this years ago, but it is a DVD put out by Answers of Genesis, and it is about the explosion at Mount St. Helens. And some of you probably see that. I don't know if you would have remembered it or not. This thing is incredible. And it answers so many questions about erosion. And there's a lot of things where sediment was laid down. And there's layers of solid, it was rock, lava, you know, formed. It totally changed the topography of the land. There was a forest down below, and it leveled a whole forest of trees. They blew them down into the Lake Spirit Lake, it was called. There's a lake down there, and it actually was like they said, it's God actually kind of gave us a laboratory where we could study what could happen real quickly, and where we would think it takes millions of years to lay all this rock, you know, change the topography and all this other stuff. It happened in cases in about 2 or 3 hours. Other cases, it, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And there was actually a total of, over a period of 2 years, there was 3 different mud flows. He calls it mud flows. It actually means lava flows, where it's actually carving down into solid rock. And I mean, this thing was massive. And yet it was just a very mediocre-sized volcano, really. But, I mean, the devastation it caused there and how it changed the land. And it's it actually made they say it's a 1/40th scale model of the Grand Canyon. And anyway, this thing's amazing. We're going to have to show it in 2 Sundays. And so, because it lasts 58 minutes, and he won't give me any more time up here. I tried to get it. We need to make this class 2 hours long, but he won't let me do it. So anyway, all right, enough said. But I'm excited about showing this DVD. I watched it yesterday, and I just stand amazed every time I see it. Okay, welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church. Don't really see any visitors here today. So, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you've given it to us, our instruction book. And Lord, in it, you teach us the things that you want us to know. And Lord, today we're going to take a look at kinds. What do you mean by the word kind in your Bible? And Lord, it's amazing. And the topic of kind totally refutes any thought of evolution. There's no way that it, when we look and observe what is actually can be seen, there's no way. There's no way. And we'll study that this morning. Open our hearts, Lord, for the message you have for us today, and help us, Lord, to understand this. And Lord, again, to give us the knowledge to be able to refute those that are believing in evolution and all this stuff that just, science proves creation. Science does not prove evolution at all. It proves creation, but they won't look at it. So open our hearts, Lord, and help us to understand what you're trying to tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I almost said you are dismissed. Okay. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 11. By the way, I'm supposed to have both cataracts removed out of both eyes toward the end of February, and I am looking forward to that. People say I'm going to get to see better, and oh my, because I'm really struggling anymore to see up here, to even read my Bible or read my notes. I can't read the words in the hymn book anymore. I shouldn't be in the choir, and so that's coming up, and I don't know how that's all going to play out, but anyway. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and start reading because I'm jumping all over here. I'm just going to go ahead and read this myself if I can see it. Okay, I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. And I want you to see some recurring words as we go through this and see if you can tell what I'm talking about. Kind of the mystery here for this morning. All right, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is within itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now skip down to verse 20, and I'm going to read 20 through 25. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, can anybody tell me what was the recurring phrases that appeared through all this, or the main word? It's kind. After its kind, after his kind, you know, all the way through it. I think God wanted us to get it. Don't you think, if he repeated it that many times? To God, the word kind, what he's talking about, kind, is very important. And he wants us to understand it. So I think we get the picture here. Okay. It talks about a seed within itself. And again, I want you to notice in creation, okay, God created everything in maturity, in a mature state. I mean, it's got fruit hanging off the trees, its seeds within it. He's telling be fruitful and multiply to the animals, to man, to everything. Go out and multiply. He didn't create Adam and Eve as a little baby, okay? They were mature adults, okay? Everything he did, even the rocks. Okay, he says, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, tell Adam, hey, Adam, hurry up and go find a baby bottle and get you something to drink right quick, otherwise you're going to starve to death. Didn't say that, okay? And again, I gave an example in the past, but again, it's a fictitious example, but I'm using it to make a point. I'll just briefly discuss it again. We talked about God's creating, okay? On day one, he's creating. Well, anyway, during the 6 days. And there's two scientists standing there beside him. This is not true, okay? But for example, there's two scientists standing there right there beside him, and they see this rock. And God has just created this rock. And they say, hey, God, stand back. We're going to go and we're going to test and see how old this rock is. And God says, well, guys, I just created it 2 minutes ago. It's only 2 minutes old. They say, no, we got our scientific testing equipment here and everything like that, and we're going to take a look. We're going to do it our way, not yours. And they get out their tools and all this stuff, and they go and date this rock. And they come out, and it's showing that this rock is millions of years old. And they say, God, no, you are wrong. This rock is millions of years old. God says, no, guys, it's only 2 minutes old. I just created it. And they say, no, God, our scientific tests are very accurate. They're very, they don't lie. And God, we have just proven that you are wrong. You know, that's the way it works out, folks. And anyway, God created things in maturity. The plants, the animals, the fish, everything was created in a mature state. Okay. Now, I normally I've told you I'm not a creative person. I'm a copycat. I go through and I study notes and I copy down what the boys say and girls that I respect highly. And a lot of them I do. I respect what they say. But here is something that this is a Jim Gay original, okay? And you'll see why I don't do very much of this. Here is my example of what God means by kind. All right? Jim Gay's version. Fish have fish, birds have birds, whales have whales, dogs have dogs, cats have cats, peach trees produce peach trees, cherry trees produce cherry trees, chickens have chickens, monkeys have monkeys, apes have apes, and humans have humans. That's a Jim Gay original, okay? In other words, things reproduce after their kind, and there's no overlapping. God's put boundaries on that, okay? That totally refutes the teachings of evolution when they talk about, you know, the thing started off as a tadpole, which turned into a frog, which turned into a bird, which turned into, you know, whatever. And eventually things kept upgrading itself and getting better, better, better. And eventually turned into, we have slime to man, as how it all evolved, and we're still evolving, and it's going on today. But things had to reproduce, changing kinds, okay? But if you take a look at the evidence out there, you'll see no evidence of that whatsoever. Okay, if it can reproduce, it is the same kind. Different kinds cannot reproduce. All right? Dogs cannot reproduce with cats, and you can't graft an oak limb into a peach tree. You know, you can't, it dies. It doesn't work. And science proves that. Okay? So how does this fit in with evolution? It's totally contrary to evolution. The evolutionists are wrong. The fossil of a fish or a cockroach looks the same as a fish or a cockroach of today. No change. You know. Kind in God's vocabulary is close to species in man's vocabulary today. Man got species pretty close. You know, species is pretty close to kind. But man's made some errors in there. Now, he'll say that God is wrong, but anyway, but he got that pretty close. So species and kind can pretty close to go hand in hand. By the way, there is only one kind of humans. Now, a lot of people get all ruffled about that, but it all started with Adam and Eve. And then things flourished, and there's an estimate, it's an estimate, a guess, but they're thinking that the population before the flood was probably very similar to what it is today. You know, the things flourished and stuff like that, you know. And when they take a look at how long these people lived and reproduction rates and this, that, and the other, could very well be similar to our population today. But then it all went down to 8 people. And so anybody sitting in this room, we originated from those 8 people on the ark. And so it's all started there, and there's not different kinds of human beings. And a lot of times, I've done this before, but they say, what race are you? And they list, you know, white, Caucasian, you know, this, that, and the, all these other different categories. I just kind of wrote up there and I put, I'm of the human kind. And then I think a lot of times the doctor sees that and they get real quiet and they're probably thinking, this is some kind of an eccentric weirdo and I don't even want to go into that with this guy. So anyway, I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but yeah, but I'm of the human race. That's the race that I am. Okay. Now, God has built in we're going to talk about variations now. Okay, variations. So we have kind, but there's variations within kind. And God has put a lot of latitude where things can, you know, change and adapt and whatever. It's part of God's plan in here. But basically, and we're going to talk about dogs, but there was probably one pair of the dog kind on the ark. And speculation is they assuming it's something maybe like the wolf kind, you know, might have been a wolf type of dog of that kind on the ark. And then from this two pair, okay, all the dogs came from those two. And so from those wolves, wolf kind or dog kind, okay, we have wolves, there's coyotes, there's wild dogs, there's domesticated dogs, hyenas. They're all of the same kind, okay? And now a lot of these notes are older notes and stuff that I've had, but anyway, at that time, there were 365 breeds of dogs, okay, at that time. We are constantly adding new and new and more varieties of dogs. And I mean, they're being registered and all this good stuff. And and so now we got big dogs, little dogs, we got Heinz dogs, there's mutts, we got it all. And so right now I've got a mutt, but they say she looks like she resembles a cattle dog. I didn't even know, I had never heard of a cattle dog before, but anyway, they say that's what I have. I've had a golden retriever, I've had German shepherds, okay, different kinds of dogs, okay? And so, all right, you guys have all got dogs. Just start calling out. What breed of dog do you guys have at your house? Call them out. What's that? Okay. Another one.
Pomeranian.
Go ahead. Keep them coming. Border Collie. Okay.
Burning Doodle?
Burning Doodle. It's a mix of a Bernese Mountain Dog crossed with a poodle.
Okay.
They call it a Burning Doodle.
Okay. All right. Who ever heard of that one before? Anyway, okay. You get the point, folks, okay? There's all this different, all these different varieties of dogs started from one pair, okay? We got all this. That is what we call variations, okay? Evolutionists say this is evolution. This is a sign of evolution. We can see evolution just right here. Evolution is happening, okay? But folks, it is not at all, okay? All these different things, we start out, they have one thing in common. What is that? What? Thought somebody in. They're all dogs. Okay? They're all dogs. You have not changed kind at all. Okay? And you got long-haired dog, big ones, little, I mean you know it, you know the gamut of what's out there. They're all dogs. To change kinds, okay, in other words, they all have one thing in common, they're dogs. You cannot breed a cat and a dog. They are different kinds. They will not reproduce. Period. Science will prove that. But you tell an evolutionist that, they won't buy it. They don't want to listen to truth. Okay? The first time that I went to the Creation Museum, I was walking around out there, and they had this kind of a zoo out there. And walked out there, and they had an animal there that they called a zorse. Z-O-R-S-E. I remember that. And as what that was, it was a crossbreed between a zebra and a horse. And that was the strangest looking animal I have ever seen in my life. It looked exactly like a horse, but it had all these stripes on it. And that was the weirdest thing, and I looked at that, okay? Now, apparently, and they were doing experiments, proven points and stuff, okay? So, obviously, a zebra and a horse are of the same kind, okay? They can reproduce. Now, obviously, they don't. They don't like each other, I guess. They're not sexually attracted to each other. And so, we have zebras and we have horses, you know? But that was, and there was another animal there too, the same type of thing, and I can't remember what that was. But I looked at that thing and I thought, but they're talking, they did this by artificial insemination, okay? And artificial insemination is something that's used a lot, you know, and we know all about that, okay? Again, like birds, I think a lot about birds, okay? Birds are of the same kind. You know, we have sparrows, we have blue jays, we got cardinals, you know. We got all these different birds, pigeons, okay? But again, apparently these birds are just sexually attracted to each. They could reproduce because they're the same kind, but they don't. And so apparently they're just not sexually attracted to the other type. I guess a cardinal wants to mate with a cardinal and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because we still have cardinals, we still have blue jays, and we have robins, and all we have it all, but they could reproduce, and they could probably be artificially inseminated and could probably do that. But anyway, that doesn't happen. I'm glad it doesn't. I like to see a cardinal and a robin, and, you know, I like to see these different. Okay. So that is varieties. In other words, there's different varieties of the same kind, but you're not going from one kind to another kind. Okay, now there's what they call variations. A lot of these terms are, some of them are pretty closely related, but it's a different thing. But variations, okay? And there are different, you can come up with variations within the same, even breed a dog. Okay? In other words, people, you can breed show dogs, let's say. Breeding show dogs, and there's certain characteristics that you want to have in your show dog. And so you breed, you like the characteristic this dog has or the characteristic this dog has. You breed them together, and you wind up with a whatever kind of a trait you're trying to come up with. And thoroughbred horses, okay? Breeding race horses. You know, to win the Kentucky Derby. You know, you pick the fastest horses, you know, and there's different traits you look for, and you interbreed these two animals together, you're still getting, you know, you're getting a horse, but you can change the characteristics of the animal, okay? It's actually, they're all the same kind. And the genetic code can change within the boundaries given by God. You can change the genetic, in other words, okay, let's take bulldogs, for example, and I'm not an expert on this at all, but I do know, I've heard about this, that with bulldogs, apparently the breeders, the show dogs, they wanted to come up with a bulldog that has a shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter nose, okay? They thought that they were sharper with a flattened face, you know, and so they started breeding these dogs. And you'd start getting a shorter and shorter and shorter nose. And eventually, it was restricting the sinus cavity on these bulldogs to the point to where they could not breathe right. And they were struggling just to breathe. And finally, the law had to step in and say, hey, look, you got to stop this because it's getting inhumane to these bulldogs. The way you're turning these things out, they can't breathe. They're about to suffocate all day long because their sinus cavities have been shrunk down. I remember when I was in high school, I used to raise hogs, okay? Hogs used to be fat. I mean, they were fat, okay? Well, Mrs. Housewife got sick and tired of paying meat prices for all this fat. And so they started coming up and they're wanting to breed leaner and leaner and leaner hogs. And so, and now hogs are, you know, they're lean compared to what they used to be. And anyway, but you take a lean, you breed two lean hogs, you're going to get a lean hog you know, are going to be born. And so you can change, you know, this is called variations within the same type of an animal. Genetic code can change within the boundaries given by God, but you are not changing from one kind of an animal to another kind. And here I give an example, lean hogs. And they bred hogs to get bigger hams. You know, want bigger hams, so we breed, you know, you breed two hogs with big hams, you're going to wind up getting bigger hams. Turkeys, all right? People like the breast, turkey breast, okay? Well, they have got turkeys to the point to where now it is the turkey's breasts are too large, the animals could not breed, okay? And so they have to breed turkeys by artificial insemination now. And so, but they have came up with this huge breast on these turkeys now. And so mama gets to put out a great big old turkey breast, you know, whenever you get a big breast, when you carve up your turkey for Thanksgiving. And again, I'm not an expert on this stuff, okay? But anyway, it's been several years ago, but there was one time that I was at the Kansas State Fair. And I'm walking around, and I'm cruising down this this lane, and I'm walking by this horse barn, and they had the great big doors on, and they were wide open. And I looked in there as I'm walking past, and they had a miniature horse show was going on. And I'd never seen such a thing, never heard of such a thing. There was full-grown horses in there, and they would pick them up and just carry them. I had a golden retriever at the time. My golden retriever was larger than those full-grown horses. And I thought, it looks so funny, but they were full-grown horses, you know. It was a horse, you know. And they had had this class, and they were judging this class of horses. But yeah, if you want to move your horse, you just picked him up, carried him over, and set him down over here. You know, I thought, man, okay, this is what we're talking about. There's variations that God has allowed to happen, but you're still getting a horse, okay? I remember when they first came out with Brangus cattle, okay? You had an Angus and you had a Brahma. Well, the Brahmers were bulkier and meatier and stuff like that, and so they started breeding Angus and Brahmas together, and all, I mean, it was a big deal. They came out with a new breed of cattle, Brangus, common today. You know, so you could get the characteristics. God has designed this. Labradoodles, you know, well, kind of like your dog. Anyway, now, have a pop quiz for you here. Now, we're going to, okay, see how this works out. Let's say there's this skinny guy, real skinny. And he gets sick and tired of the guys pushing him around and beating up on him and shoving him around, this, that, and the other. So he decides to become a bodybuilder. And so he goes out the gym, he starts working out, and he's taking all kind of vitamins, this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, I mean, this guy, he grows these big biceps, and I mean, all of a sudden, he's one great big hunk of a man. All right? Now, let's say that he and his wife, she gets pregnant. And they have a baby boy. Now, the baby boy that is born, is this baby boy that is born, is he going to be a skinny kid or a great big muscular kid? Skinny. What? Skinny. Okay. Anybody else? What's the wife like? Well, all right. You're messing up my example here, Keith. You're messing with me. Now, he's going to be a skinny kid, okay? Because, again, you have not changed. There's no genetic code has changed. You just, you know, God can let us adapt and change in these types of ways. And so here's another thing where the evolutionists, they come up, okay, here is a fine case of evolution. Okay, it's bugs developing resistance to insecticides. Okay, they say, hey, you know, bugs used to be DDT worked on bugs to kill them. They get an immune to it, and now they don't DDT to affect them anymore, okay? And so, and they say, this is an example of evolution. Mm-hmm. Folks, no, it is not. You are not changing kind, okay? God has built this into our, you know, to the genetic code in these things where they can build up resistance to stuff. It is not, you know, for it to fit in with evolution, you've got to be able to go from one kind to another. It is the same bug, two bugs. This one died. This one has developed a resistance to it, and he can walk away from it. But there's no, you're not changing kind. Okay, it's still the same bug. Evolutionists claim this is proof of evolution. It is a variation, or what we call natural selection. Okay, and God has designed that in. But again, it is not a proof of evolution. And they use this, they point to it, say, right, you can see it. No, it doesn't, you know, it is not, they're not evolving. Because for evolution to work like they say it does, you've got to go from one kind to another kind. To start from mud, you know, to come up with all these amoebas and all the way up through the, you know, the chain, of, they say. Okay, it's a variation or a natural selection. No new kind was produced. It's still the same bug. One can resist DDT, the other one cannot. The genetic code has moved within its boundaries given to it by God. And in some cases, they actually lose some genetic code in order to become resistant. Now, I'm getting into stuff way over my head, so I'm just going to stop right there. But there's times that if they lose the genetic code, that takes away their ability to get killed by this stuff, and now they're not killed by it anymore. It's working in reverse direction, and I'm getting in trouble, and I'm going to move on. Okay. We've all heard of super germs, okay, found in hospitals. In fact, I heard a guy say the other day, he says, man, if you want to get over sickness, don't go to a hospital. Well, that's not necessarily true, but anyway. But there is what is called super germs. And it is found in hospitals, and a lot of times in hospitals where things are critical, okay, critical. Super germs, and there are some bacteria that are resistant to almost every, and in some cases, every type of antibiotic known to man. You know, and they have to fight these constantly. It's found in hospitals that handle the more serious illnesses. There's times that some of these bacteria have been found thriving in bottles of the hospital disinfectant. They're living in it. They're feasting on it. They're doing great, okay? And the disinfectant is supposed to kill them, okay, called super germs. It is based on natural selection, survival of the fittest, and the creationists that believe in survival of the fittest. The strong survive, the weak die. And again, that's the main thing that evolutionists claim. You know, that's what it's all about. Well, we agree on survival of the fittest. No problem there. But it's based on natural selection, survival of the fittest, rather than a new bacteria being produced. Same bacteria. They just get resistant. And it's a constant battle. They're constantly have to come up with new viruses, trying because, you know, the kind of... Well, our COVID, that's the word I'm trying to think of. You know, they're always coming out. There's new strains coming out. They got to keep changing the medicines, this, that, and the other, and whatever. So, okay. Any questions or comments on anything we've covered so far? Yes, sir.
When you're talking about the race, and it's true that it is the human race, but we do have to respect that there are different people groups.
Yes. Okay.
Deny that we are
Yes. And you are correct.
I just want to point that out.
Yeah. And there is different ethnicities, you know, different cultures, you know. And so, anyway, you are correct. I saw a hand over here, I think. Well, there's one back there, two back there.
When you talk about the breeding, whether it's artificial or natural, with genetics, it's always a loss of information. There's never been made.
And that is true. There is a loss of genetic code or whatever. Things are perfect with Adam and Eve, but you know, with sin in the world and this, that, and the other, and that's why we start getting a lot of things getting messed up now, because the genetic code thing is being tainted more and more and more as life goes on, and we're getting ready to talk about that. Although we've only got 7 minutes. Okay. Here's another thing. Again, to kind of prove what I'm talking about here. It's called hybrids. Okay? Hybrids. Take a tangerine. Okay? There is no such thing as a tangerine tree. But yet, you go to the store, you can buy tangerines. Okay? How do you get a tangerine? They take an orange shoot and graft it into an apricot tree. You come up with a tangerine. In other words, it's hybrids, and you can graft two different types of things in, and you come up with a different fruit because it has the characteristics of both. And again, God has designed it this way. It's built into God's plan. A tangelo, okay, it is a combination of an orange, an apricot, and a grapefruit. Combine those three, you know, somehow they work all this stuff out, and you come up with a tangelo. And folks, a lot of farmers in here, talk about wheat and corn. I remember back when I was a kid, they came up with a big thing where wheat developed rust. It had rust in it. That was causing some real problems. Well, they can alter the seed, and they can actually wind up preventing or coming up with a wheat that are rust proof or rust resistant, I should say. Varieties are drought resistant. You can change, even in the like that. It's still wheat. It's still corn. You know, you can come up with different characteristics, with hybrids. And you can change things within God's parameters, but you can't go beyond what God has set up. That's what I'm trying to say. But you cannot graft an oak branch into an apple tree. Different kind. It's going to die. Different kind. So there's all these different things. God has built this into it. And the evolutionists point to all this stuff, say there is an example of evolution. No, it is not. It is not. Okay. Mutations. Okay, that's another phase here. Mutations. When you have mutations, that means something has went wrong. Okay. I remember when I was going to K-State, they had a museum there. And I went into this museum, and you walk in there, and here's this two-headed calf. Have you all seen two-headed calves, two-headed snakes, two-headed turtles? You know, we've seen them, you know, and it's something that happens, okay? That is called a mutation. It is not normal. Something went wrong, okay? Like the loss of the perfect genetic code, and something went wrong. I remember seeing on TV that they had a picture of this fawn, a little deer, and it had four back legs. I guess you could call him a dooley. But he had four back legs, you know. All right, this is not normal. Something went wrong, okay? And I remember seeing a picture of a cow, and it had a small fifth leg protruding out of one of its back legs. It was just a little leg, looked just like a calf leg, but it had this fifth leg sticking out. It was only about this long, a little short thing. It's sticking out of the side of this cow, you know. These are examples of mutations, okay? What about conjoined babies? We see this, we've seen this all along, okay? Where two babies are conjoined together in one way or the other, okay? That is called a mutation. Something went wrong, okay? And again, evolutionists, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I better just stay with my notes here. Mutations are more detrimental than a blessing and could be and can prove fatal if not corrected. You know, conjoined babies, you know, they separate them. They get it. It's amazing what medicine can do today. But usually this proves fatal. You take a two-headed calf, he doesn't last very long, he dies, okay? A two-headed whatever, you know. They usually have very short lives. Don't know if any have ever reproduced, don't know about that. Evolution would have to be built on a series of mutations to go from slime to man. And, you know, just mutations after mutation. Mutations are detrimental. They are life-threatening. And they have got to be corrected, or else you're going to have problems, either death or problems for the rest of your life. And again, where is the here's a big thing. We're not going to get into this today. I'm about out of time. But where is the missing links from the fossil records or living today? In other words, here's a big thing for the evolutionists. You know, they claim all this stuff gradually. Okay, let's just take a frog gradually turning into a bird. All right, I don't know if that's the right sequence, but it's the illustration anyway. But if there would be a gradual process, you know, you start off with 100% bird, and you eventually work your way over here to where you have 100%, or you start off with 100, what did we start off with? Frog? Okay, you have 100% frog, and you work all the way over here where you have 100% bird. There should be fossils showing all the slight changes all the way through. Here's one is 50-50, here's one is 75-25, you know. It's not found in a fossil record, folks. It is not there. They can't not produce it because it's not there. Why? Because it didn't happen that way. It's false, okay? Evolution. Now I gotta wrap this thing up. Okay, and let's just take a look at evolution and the things that the changes that have to take place. Gender. Okay, so all of a sudden during the evolutionary process, the things have progressed way up, way up, way up. Okay, now we've got a human being. Okay, and this human being, there's two of them there, and one of them says, "Hey, how about me becoming a man and you becoming a woman?" All right. So what do you do to start making that change? How do you make that change? How would that happen? Okay. Say, okay, I want to become a boy, you become a girl. All right, fine. Okay. So how do you go through the reproductive process? Folks, it doesn't happen. How about the sense of smell? This glob of mud says, hey, I can't smell anything. I'd like to start smelling, so I'm going to develop smell. Eyesight. The intricacies of the eye. It's amazing. I have DVDs on the structure of the eye, and I mean, what all it goes through to do what it does, you know. A brain. This glob. So I don't have a brain. I can't think, but I like to have a brain so I can think, so I'm going to develop a brain. You know, it's asinine to think of such a thing. How about a thought? What is a thought? You know, I can't think. I'd like to be able to think. I like to have thoughts. I like to have emotions. Speech. How'd they come up with languages? Speech. You know, how would they figure that out when you don't have anything to think with or a brain? What we are DNA from our parents, okay? We got our father's DNA, we got our mother's DNA, the two are combined. We are part of both, but we are a different individual, a different person, different makeup. God has created things so that they will only reproduce after their kind. My time is up. I'm going to wrap this up real quick here. God has created things to do so they will only reproduce after their kind. This biblical truth is confirmed by every scientific observation ever made on plants and animals, whether living, dead, or fossilized. No one has ever seen a frog evolve into a fish or a vine into an olive tree, either in the present time or in the fossil record of the past. It's never been seen. How does this match up with the teachings of evolution? Somebody is wrong. The teachings of evolution are wrong. They say varieties and variations are a sign of evolution, but no new kind was developed. These are simply latitudes God built into the genetic codes of the plant or the animal. Survival of the fittest is one of the things that they both agree on. Creationists and evolutionists agree on this, but there is no new kind produced. Kind limits it. We're 2 minutes late. So I think I better just close in prayer because I hate to cut in on his time. He may fire me. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this for your word. Lord, we could study it, and Lord, as we analyze it, if we just open our eyes and look around and see what we can see, God, Lord, you've displayed your eternal power and Godhead through the things that are made, through the creation. And Lord, it doesn't, and science proves creation, not evolution. And it's getting to be more and more true as people continue studying it. Lord, help us to be open to your word. Help us, Lord, to study, to understand it. And Lord, help us to be able to have answers, Lord, and maybe to remove doubts that we might have, Lord, about, well, what about this? What about that? I hope these lessons are helping. Father, just be with Pastor this morning as he brings the morning message. Open our hearts, Lord, and speak to us, Lord, in the way that we have individual need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.